morning's Old Testament lesson is Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, so that you may be revered. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is great power to redeem. It is he who will redeem Israel for all of its iniquities. And this is the word of the Lord. This comes from Mark chapter 5, verses 21 through 43. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue, named Jairus, came, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, so that she may be made well and live." So he went with him. And a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. For she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately, her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you? How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha cum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. At this, they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. The next gospel lesson comes from also from Mark, chapter 10, verses 46 through 42. They came to Jericho. As he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the road. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, "Have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately, he regained his sight and followed him on the way. This is the word of the Lord.
Ordained ministry is my fourth career. I was a Mary Kay beauty consultant for 13 years. That was my third career, and it ran concurrently with my second career in software. And when I became a Mary Kay beauty consultant, I was taught to double book my appointments. The reason was because invariably one of them wouldn't hold, and if you had two booked, you'd still be assured of holding an appointment. Prior to joining Mary Kay, I would not do more than one thing on a day. For example, if I had an invitation to two barbecues on a particular Sunday, I would go to one, even if they were at different times, because to get from one to the other was too stressful. My brain just would not allow me to fill my days that way. As a Mary Kay beauty consultant, I learned to double and triple book so that I would be assured of having the appointments I needed to support my recruiting and sales goals. I started to color code, I know that's funny because I'm colorblind, color code my date book. I used bright colors that I could see. So, Mary Kay, things were in yellow, church stuff was in pink, my family was in green, and I could just open my calendar and see where I needed to be just based on that. I was busy. I'm still busy. Today the colors are for the church and district events and conference events and of course my family. We're all busy. The question is, are we too busy? You see, there's a difference between having full days that are productive and busy days where you don't have time to breathe and perhaps your time isn't being well spent. And at the end of the day, you're wondering, what did I do all day? Or being so busy that you miss things, important things. Do you remember the story of Mary and Martha? Jesus was visiting them, and that involved a meal. Hospitality is very important in this culture. So Martha's buzzing around the house, getting it in order, and preparing the meal. Now, can you just picture her in this flurry going around with the checklist to make sure she has everything just perfect for this visit with Jesus? And in the middle of her running around, she happens to notice that her sister Mary is just lounging around at Jesus' feet, not doing anything except listening to him. So Martha freaks out and she asks Jesus, "Will you please tell Mary to help me? She's left me with all the work." And instead, he says that Martha has chosen the better of the two options by sitting at his feet to listen to him. Have you ever been so busy that you barely notice what is going on around you? Have you ever been so busy that you barely notice who is around you? Let's take a look at Bartimaeus. Now, Bartimaeus had heard of Jesus. Who hadn't? This story in Mark is happening as Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem for the first time. So Jesus is known all over. And Bartimaeus has heard of Jesus' preaching and his healing. And he saw this huge crowd surrounding Jesus. But Bartimaeus, he was gutsy and he was loud, the scripture tells us. So loud that the people around him tried to hush him. But he cried even louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Bartimaeus' loud cry interrupted Jesus' agenda. Jesus stood still and told the people to bring Bartimaeus to him. And then Jesus asked him, what was it he wanted Jesus to do for him? Now Jesus was on a mission. He was heading to Jerusalem. And he knew what lay ahead for him. And that could have been weighing on his mind. Nonetheless, Jesus allowed his agenda to be interrupted. Jesus often allowed his agenda to be interrupted. Often, he was on his way to a quiet place to rest and to pray, but the crowds would find him. And when they did, his agenda was interrupted. And he would teach them, and he would heal them, and in some cases, he would feed them. As Jesus was on his way to the home of Jairus to heal his daughter, a woman who'd been hemorrhaging for 12 years interrupted his agenda when she touched the hem of his garment to be healed. Now, Jesus didn't call her out. He didn't get annoyed because she interrupted his plans or delayed his arrival to the next location. Instead, Jesus listened to her. He heard what she had to say to him about her problem, her desire to be healed, and her firm belief that just touching his clothes would make her well. And she was healed. Jesus affirmed her belief and her faith and sent her forth in peace. No longer would she be an outcast in her village. No longer would she be considered unclean. Jesus gave her back her life and never thought about his plans or agenda. And from that experience, Jesus just moved on and went to the home of Jairus. Jesus had his agenda interrupted, but he made time to listen to the woman, affirmed her needs and her healing, and still went on to the next thing he was planning to do. I would dare say that Jesus did not see these occurrences as interruptions. I don't think Jesus allowed his agenda to totally rule his time. And I say this because ultimately what mattered to Jesus was people. People were Jesus' agenda. People always came first for Jesus, as they should for us too. These people that the crowd thought were annoyances or disturbances to the plan were actually all part of the plan. Bartimaeus, he was physically blind, but he was the only one in the crowd who knew who truly Jesus was. He was the only one who saw Jesus and his true identity. He shouted, "Son of David, have mercy on me." It was actually the crowd who was blind. They didn't recognize Jesus for who he was. They also didn't recognize the full humanity of Bartimaeus, because according to their standards, he wasn't whole. Who are the Bartimaeuses in this community? Who are the women with the hemorrhage? Who are the people in this community who are invisible? Who are the people that are ignored? Maybe you walk by them and don't even see them because you're in a hurry, you're busy. Or maybe you walk by and choose not to see them because seeing them would have an effect or require an action. It would have been easier for the crowd and the disciples if that unclean woman had not touched Jesus. And what happens when we do see the woman with the bleeding disease or the blind Bartimaeus around us? Sometimes we have that urge to help them. And we assume what they need, and we make it our business to meet those needs. And we feel good because we helped. That's sort of a top-down kind of help that actually comes from a place of privilege. I have all the resources, and I'm going to hand some to you. It's almost transactional. Similar to the crowd with Bartimaeus, prior to regaining his sight, he was nothing more than a blind beggar to the people in Jericho. He had no status in town. He had no position. Nobody really to care for him. He was of use to no one in the town. He was left alone to beg in the streets. He wasn't seen as a whole person, and certainly not as a productive person. However, once his sight is restored, he is suddenly whole in the eyes of the people of Jericho. And when Jesus calls for him, they finally see Bartimaeus, and they respond, saying, "Take heart, Get up, he's calling you. And then Jesus asked Bartimaeus what it is that he can do for him. And that seems like a silly question. It's kind of obvious. He's blind. He probably wants to see. But Jesus is actually giving Bartimaeus the chance to articulate his desires. Jesus is giving Bartimaeus the opportunity to be heard. Jesus is honoring Bartimaeus in his full humanity. When we don't listen to others, we are acting from a place of privilege and assuming that we know best. Instead, we should be asking the question, what is it you would like me to do for you? And we should be waiting for the answer, because then we have something to act upon. Only then can we truly accomplish our mission. Only then can we really help, and only then can we serve others in love. Mother Teresa was once asked how she was able to work the way she did, serving the poorest of the poor. And her response was that in their faces, she saw the face of Jesus. In order for us to serve the children of God, as we're called to do, we must truly see them in their full humanity. And when we see them, we need to see Jesus in their faces, remembering that we're all made in the image of God. And we need to give them the space to be heard so that we know their desires and their needs for sure. This is how we honor God and others. This is how we participate in the work of the kingdom of God. During the pandemic, we experienced disconnection. We couldn't see people. And sometimes it's out of sight, out of mind. But now as we emerge from our separation and isolation, it's critical that we see everyone. It's critical that we hear everyone. All God's children need to be visible and heard. And when we allow ourselves to truly see people and see Jesus in their faces, we honor their humanity and we honor God. By the power of the Holy Spirit, may it be so. Amen.